Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, it is the return of our screen team, who've been very helpful. I've been writing down the recommendations for TV and film over the last while. Paddy and Olivia are here. That's Olivia Fahey of Geek Ireland. She's the editor and historical entertainer and musician, Paddy Cullivan.
Woo!
Yay!
Welcome to you both. We always start with the things that many people are talking about and reviewing that is everywhere at the moment. Olivia, I'm going to start with you. This is a bit of a downer. Sean Combs' The Reckoning. Docu-series.
Yeah, I have to say to everybody, this is a harrowing watch. It is a four-episode docu-series that's actually produced by Curtis Jackson, also known as 50 Cent.
Yeah.
And you may have just seen a lot of memes on your timeline recently to be like, do you know what? My goal for 2026 is going to be as petty as 50 Cent, because this is literally a massive hit piece on Sean, Puffy, Puff Daddy, Diddy, Combs.
Do you need to have a hit piece on someone who's literally been convicted of crimes and sentenced to over four years in prison? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's one of those really interesting things where they actually go through his rise to fame and where he actually started. So he actually started kind of behind the scenes as a producer, and then kind of inserted himself into like music videos or into the media through his clients. And then that's how he kind of made a name for himself.
I thought they
all
did that. It was in Kanye.
A bit like that as well. Yeah. So he kind of learned the method of getting your face out there through Diddy. And it's a very interesting insight, but of course, like, a lot of it is still like mostly people just making their own claims that have now been either countered or proven to be incorrect. And it's a harrowing
watch. He's a one-note producer of this, isn't he, 50 Cent? He really hates this guy and
he
wants
does.
To do him down further.
It's been like this feud that they've had for many, many years. No one was really sure how exactly it started. There's lots of different versions of what actually happened. Basically, Curtis Jackson has been working as a producer in film and television for quite some time now. He's produced some really, really good shows. And it's a very interesting watch. He gets some footage of Diddy before he gets arrested back in 2024.
Okay.
That Diddy had actually paid this guy, a videographer, to follow him in the days leading up to his arrest, not knowing that that's when he was going to be arrested. And then everyone's just like, so Curtis, how did you get this footage? And he's just like, well, journalists don't really reveal their sources. And you're like, that's a very clever way of being like, yeah, we don't really want Diddy to find out how we got this footage.
And so there are spokespeople, aren't there, for Sean Combs saying this is stolen footage.
They're saying it's stolen footage. There are claims one way that he never paid for the footage, so it was sold to Curtis Jackson. But then they say that they never actually gave permission for it to be sold, because technically if he was hired for them, then technically they own the footage. But
so
if they haven't paid for it, then who knows where the actual ownership lies.
Netflix and the filmmakers say they have the footage legally and they hold the rights to include it in the series. So there's a whole extra story going on outside of this thing.
There is. There could be a massive follow-up series based on just the aftermath of releasing this.
How do I even ask, did you enjoy this harrowing experience?
Do you know what? I was absolutely gripped by it, because there's bits, of course, that I would remember from growing up. Like, I remember when the big like Godzilla movie was coming out and he was doing the music for that.
Right.
Then one of the producers is talking about how he actually had to kind of coax him into getting the performance right in the beat that the way that they wanted it to be, and all of the influences on how he basically went from, again, the behind the scenes producer to this front man.
Yeah.
It's very interesting in
the
that
history
sense.
Of a downfall is interesting.
Exactly.
But you can't
it's
be
his
sure.
massive rise and his massive fall.
It's one way of getting back at a musical rival, isn't it?
Instead of just doing a diss track, he's literally just made an entire docuseries.
Yeah, and I couldn't bear Diddy. I mean, I know a lot about music, but all
he
I
was
know
the
about,
worst, wasn't he?
Yeah, just like a bad cover of I'll Be Missing You or Every Breath You Take by The Police, and Sting once said I make $5,000 a day off it, you know, and it's just rotten stuff.
Yeah,
rotten. You know, I play covers myself, but not that bad.
I wish we had protection on the term documentary as well for this type of thing, or docuseries. There's no journalism happening.
Because like with a lot of them, they're interviewing people who are making claims left, right and centre about certain things that have happened.
Right.
They touch on the trial a little bit, mostly with actually interviewing two of the jurors who are explaining why they found him innocent in some of them and found him guilty in others. They're also interviewing people that he's worked with in the past who are then also making claims with regards to the Biggie versus Tupac kind of era as well. So it's a lot of he said, she said in it.
Okay, so it's on Netflix and it's number one in most countries all around the
number
world.
Number one in most countries, that's even awesome. Beating Stranger Things, which, you know, breaks my nerdy little heart.
What are you watching that everyone's chatting about?
Well, I looked forward to this the last time.
You did.
The Abandons. And I watched it all in one sitting and I absolutely loved it. Lena Headey.
How many episodes did you watch?
Seven.
Not in one sitting.
Yes, I was doing my accounts. And So Lena Headey, Gillian Anderson masticate and fully digest the incredible scenery of Alberta in this tense Western about a group of orphans led by Headey with an extraordinary but accurate Dublin accent. She talks like that the whole time.
Does she?
It's actually really good, you know. Anderson's trying to take her land for the silver under. You're not taking me silver. And underneath the land, and the same incredible tension that Kurt Sutter brought to Sons of Anarchy. I watched it with my dad, who's 86, and he said he was on the edge of his seat for the whole thing. He loves minimalist, kind of Mel Gibson style, low dialogue, and it's beautifully put together. It's absolutely, it's
And Alberta is also the place where Clint Eastwood, most of those movies were shot.
The Unforgiven and all, yes. So it's beautiful to look at, and he's never seen anything like it. So it stars other Sons of Anarchy people like Ryan Hurst, Timothy V. Murphy, an Irish actor who played the IRA leader in that.
Right.
Our own Aisling Franciosi is in it as well. Now it's getting slated for some reason. I don't know why.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, and because, but you know something? How can I put it? I was saying to Olivia, it's feral. Yeah. It's absolutely feral
they
and brilliant.
They were expecting Deadwood, weren't they?
Yeah.
Just everyone chatting all the time.
It's far more organic than that. It's far more basic. It's very Son of Anarchy. And if you love that, you're going to love this. And it's just, again, the Western's going through a major revival and it's fantastic.
If you love Westerns, old style ones, you know, what is it kind of like, The Abandons? What's it more like?
It's actually a bit more like American Primeval, the other one that's out, very basic. They're looking at the Western as almost a kind of a horrendous, you know, these people are surviving by their wits. It really captures the fact that America wasn't really complete until about the 1920s, you know.
Yeah, I kind of feel like people have gone into watching it with a certain expectation with it being a Western, whereas it is literally just, instead of people riding on motorcycles in Sons of Anarchy, they're riding horses in this.
Yeah.
And that's clever, yeah.
And Gillian Anderson is just so good as well. They're both brilliant, you know. But again, the big performances are what's happening at the moment, you know.
Is there plenty of action?
Loads, oh Jesus, all
oh,
the time.
Sure.
People dying the whole
up.
Time. It's full of death. Death, carnage. It's exactly what you want.
Do you know anything about Lena Headey? Why would she have a good Irish accent? Because
no,
she was
but you were saying that she knows a lot. She was over here filming a lot.
She's been over and back quite a bit. And of course, like even like filming Game of Thrones up in Belfast as well.
Exactly. So.
But she went for a Dublin accent. She could have gone Belfast, couldn't she?
She could have either, yeah.
It lends itself better to
It's very good.
Accent.
It's nice. And she has a kind of a group of orphans with her that she's gathered around her. And it's fabulous, you know. Yeah.
You make sound so cheerful.
Oh, it's great. Crack.
That's also on Netflix. I had cancelled Netflix. Everything good is on Netflix at the moment, isn't it?
I think my next pick is Netflix as well.
What is it? Go on.
I know we went through a terrible period there, but it's coming back.
It's coming back. I think it realised it needed to put a bit more gusto into things.
What is your next pick, by the way?
My next pick is a hidden gem, especially like last week. Last time we were on, I did a Christmas movie called Spirited. I've done another Christmas movie this time as well, Klaus. Oh my goodness.
I've seen it.
It's one of the most beautiful Christmas movies that has come out in the last couple of years. But also, this is an Oscar-nominated movie. It is rare for a Christmas movie to ever get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
This one managed it, and it was so deserving of it as well.
Is that the case?
Stunning.
Christmas movies, they don't get Oscars?
Not very often, anyways.
Or
not
comedies.
That I can,
or
yeah, comedies.
Comedies. Unfortunately.
It's always very kind of like drama-orientated, but even in the animated categories, you'd be very rarely finding something that's like a Christmas like movie, like Christmas Carol and things like that, I don't think have ever really been nominated. Of course, the animation category only came into existence in 2001 when Shrek won it. So you're kind of like, that's kind of the vibe that they go for. So it's either like Disney, Pixar or DreamWorks that tend to walk away with the gong at the end of the day.
What is Klaus about?
Klaus is essentially another look at the origins of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And it's this guy, this postman called Jesper, voiced by Jason Schwartzman. And he is in the doghouse with the head of the post society. And is sent to this island where there's a rival families that are basically in this gang war kind of thing. Yeah. It's in the back arse of nowhere, and he needs to try and convince them to send a certain number of letters before the end of the year, or else he's going to be fired. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he becomes friends with this guy called Klaus. He's a woodsman, voiced by J.K. Simmons beautifully. And they together come up with this idea that, like, he has all these toys that he made in his house and he's going to gift them to the children. But what Jesper does is he makes the children send him a letter in order to get the presents, and that's his plan of trying to get out of...
I remember this being great crack.
Is
this like 2017, 18, somewhere around there?
I think 2016, actually.
Is it really 10 years?
I think it's nearly 10 years old, yeah. But it's like, it is just absolutely stunning. The artwork is gorgeous. The soundtrack is wonderful. There's a Zara Larsson song that I think people might actually have heard on the radio as well.
Everybody's somebody's fool.
Yes.
Do you watch animations at all, Paddy?
Ulysses 31, back in the day.
great show, by the way.
Great amazing. Theme tune.
Yeah, yes. Great.
Ulysses. Yeah. you can do it.
Ulysses. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, not really. But I will watch it, absolutely. Yeah.
Animation has come on leaps and bounds
The Spider-Man.
Spider-Verse. Brilliant, yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse. I didn't see the second one. That's on my list for...
Second one wasn't as good as the first one.
Oh, well, there you go.
Sorry.
It's off the list now. Because I trust you on these overlooked wonder that you've spotted.
I don't know if it's overlooked, but I think people will overlook it. It's called...
It is overlooked.
Yeah.
I know.
Is it?
Yeah.
Death by Lightning. And mm-hmm. and it's only four episodes, which is brilliant. I did it in another one sitting. And again, watching my father. It's an American historical drama produced by Benioff and Weiss, the people behind Game of Thrones. And it stars Michael Shannon as United States President James A. Garfield and Matthew McFadden as his assassin, Charles Gateau. And it premiered out. And you'll know McFadden as Tom from Succession. So he's equally slimy and crazy. I think it's a hidden gem because what sounds like a boring historical drama is actually interesting and hilarious. It's got Bradley Whitford from The West Wing. It's got Nick Offerman as Chester A. Arthur.
Love Nick Offerman as this
crazy guy.
That's why I watched two episodes of this.
Oh, yeah, and my favourite actress, Betty Gilpin, who was in American Primeval. So poor Garfield is a good man shot by a lunatic only 4 months into his presidency.
He wants to just farm in Ohio, doesn't he? And
he's there. That's all he wants to do. But then he makes a great speech and he's nominated to be president. That's how easy it is.
But it's... Yeah. One speech.
And I tell you one thing, it recreates the look and ambience of 1880s America. So Chicago looks like the 1880s. And look, in light of the appalling assassination of Charlie Kirk in September, it's really timely. And at only four episodes...
Which they wouldn't have intended, you know, to, because obviously it's made before.
No, but the lunatic, happened.
You do see the similarities.
I'd hate to say it, it's an American tradition. And at four episodes, it's a great treat. You'll learn a huge amount about American politics. Yeah. Bad medicinal practices. There's some terrible stuff at the end, like where they don't... A doctor, a really bad doctor, gets involved.
Oh, right.
To quote Bon Jovi, bad medicine. And I have to say, the performances again are absolutely wonderful. The ensemble of Offerman, especially as Chester A. Arthur, he's a real old... You know what he's like? He's like a mad Fianna Fáil fella.
He really is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. What he is. And he's so shocked that he's been chosen as the Veep, running mate.
Yeah,
but he kind of goes, well, why not?
Well, sure.
After doing all the bruising.
Sure, it's never happened here.
Absolutely amazing. But imagine McFadden.
Yeah, again.
He's unbelievable.
A star turn. And again, thinks he's done something right, thinks he's going to be a celebrity out of it. Mm. He's going to have a book deal. You know, it really goes back to amazing movies like King of Comedy by Scorsese. Mm. They've captured something, but also has that Game of Thrones depth plus humour, which is
the comedy, because they don't do that. It becomes very po-faced and political.
Yeah, and there's some great moments. So really do watch it. And again, these are the two I've named, seven episodes and four episodes. I think that people have an easier time with that.
I love it. And then never see from them again.
No.
It's going to be over. They can't kill James Garfield again.
Well, I will watch it again.
You'd watch it again.
For the performances.
I didn't know the Game of Thrones people were behind
it. They're behind it, yeah.
Now, speaking of Lena Headey, who is Cersei Lannister, and you mentioned her Dublin accent, we have a sample of we can test it now.
Ooh.
Because I haven't... If you stick on your headphones there, Olivia, you can also be the judge with a couple of seconds here of Lena Headey.
My family are five abandoned souls, now kin. God gave us this home. Only God can take it away.
I knew I was getting a sermon I would have worn my Sunday finery.
That's very good.
It's not bad.
She has the kind of weepy bit of Dublin going on too.
Yeah.
It's almost love-hate-esque, isn't
it? It's a bit of Melda May.
We have to find out where she got that accent from.
Definitely.
Who was training.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, we're going to the cinema now, aren't we? What you're looking forward to in the cinema, Olivia?
Actually, no, I am Prime Video. It is, Paddy is going to be talking about a movie, but I have, very on brand for myself, Fallout Season 2. So is the Prime Video series based on the hit video game Fallout. It is a post-apocalyptic setting, but if the end of the world happened in the 50s, which is a little bit different to what we're kind
it
of
gives it
used
a great
to.
Look, doesn't it?
Honest to God. And look, it's so retro but futuristic that I just really, really loved it. But because the games are so open world and that you're, when you're playing the games, your decisions actually kind of dictate where you go and how your storyline is going to go.
Yeah.
So I was really interested to see how were they going to actually convey this in a more kind of like direct story. But they did such a brilliant job. One of the executive producers is Jonah Nolan, who is Christopher Nolan's brother.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so he
is, works with him and all the...
He does, yeah. And like he has... He's got, just got a great hold and understanding of what is really special about the games. There's a few like little winks and nods in season one where you're kind of looking at it going, it's like, oh, I remember that from the game, or I remember that from the game. But they're not so plot important that if you didn't know what the game was beforehand, you'd still be able to enjoy the actual series as well. They're just these like little, like the way that they can shoot the gun and things like that, like that's just very nerdy loveliness. Walton Goggins, kind of like the man of the moment, he plays the ghoul in it, and I just find it really, really funny that everyone's kind of like, how could you make a man with no nose look so sexy? Because everybody just went absolutely wild for him in season one. But yeah, he doesn't know what he did. He just had such a good swagger. But season two is kicking off now next week. It's coming back. We're going to be moving on through this landscape of like the dead America. And we're going to New Vegas, which for nerds like myself will know that's one of the biggest video games in the franchise. And I can't wait to see what they've come up with. Kyle MacLachlan is coming back. Ella Purnell is coming back. Aaron Morton. You know, it's just a brilliant, brilliant show. And Macaulay Culkin is in this season.
How do you contain your excitement for all of these things?
I don't. I'm literally sitting here buzzing.
And you're going to go to the cinema.
I'm going to cinema tomorrow. I'm going to see Nuremberg, starring my old...
I can't wait.
Yes. Starring my old singing partner, Russell Crowe.
Who I hear has finally done something good.
Ah, come on now. He's great in everything. I love him in Noah. I love him in everything, you know. Like Hermann Göring, you know, starts off slim and svelte and ends up looking like he does
That's
now.
That's Nuremberg. It looks great.
Nuremberg Trials. It's all about the sessions during the trials. Rami Malek is in it and all of this. I'm a huge fan of Judgment at Nuremberg, so I'm dying to
out
see
in the
this.
Cinema. Brilliant.
Yes.
Okay, thank you to our screen team, Olivia Fahey of Geek Ireland and Paddy, paddycullivan.com. Thank you very much for all your tips.